Joint Water Sanitary Authority.
Joint Water Sanitary Authority.
Echo.
You want me to unplug from that?
I got it.
Can you back me now?
No. Can't be echoing like that the whole evening.
I assume Dan can hear us.
Can you hear us, Dan?
I'm here.
Okay. Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting is now in session. It's September 8th, 2026, 5 p.m. in Pacific City at the Kiwanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room. We are meeting virtually and in person. The rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. You will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. And we also refrain from any speech of a political nature. Excuse me for just a second, I didn't turn my phone off. All right. Before I call the roll call, I'd like to point out that come Friday, 9/11/2026, it's been 25 years since our country was attacked, and I'd like to just have a moment of silence. And remembrance. Let us never forget. Okay, the roll call. Director Strotska?
Here.
Director Anderson?
Here.
Director Shoemaker?
Here.
Director Doyle?
Here.
I'm Director Donahue, the chair. We will now read we'll go to the minutes of August 11th, business meeting. Were there any corrections or additions? I noticed something on the last page. Chair Donahue said they considered Mr. Wesley's proposal and that he is appointing a committee of two to contact our attorneys. That should have stated, as Chair Donahue said, they considered Mr. Wesley's retirement proposal. Did anybody else notice anything else in those meeting minutes? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I move that the minutes of August 11th, 2026 be accepted as corrected.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the minutes of August 11th, 2026 business meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay, we'll move on to the financial report, accounts payable for August 15th and August 31st. Are there any questions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable as of August 15th and August 31st, 2026, as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the accounts payable for August 15th and August 31st periods, 2026. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Our item B under financial report, fiscal year 26-27 general ledger. Were there any questions concerning that from any member of the board? Hearing none, we'll move on. Item six, manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. I've only got a couple things for the board on the manager's report this month. Just an update on current SDCs. We are at two water and two sewer for fiscal year 26-27, which is probably a pretty good start. I've been talking about the unaccounted for water on a monthly basis for a while. Still hovering at about 1 million gallons of unaccounted for water per month. This month we were a little lower than the previous month or the month before that. And looking at compared to total production, 12.2% of the water produced is currently unaccounted for. We are still moving forward with the new flow meter at Horn Creek. There was a couple things that delayed the process a little bit. Originally, they told us the lay length was 28 inches, and it turned out it was 32 inches.
What's that? A lay length?
It's the physical length of the meter that we're trying to replace.
Gotcha.
And they're going and they custom make these meters for custom lay lengths, so that you can easily replace an existing meter without having to put a spool piece or anything like that. I thought that they were going to use a spool piece, but the meter is going to be custom built for the lay length we need, which is at 32 inches. When we had originally talked to the manufacturer and gave them the make and model number of the old meter, which is also produced by Micrometer, which is the same company we're buying the new meter from, they looked up their records and said it was a 28-inch lay length. Turned out that was wrong. Probably going to delay things a couple of weeks, but we're still hopeful that we'll have the meter and perhaps even have it installed by the end of the month. But I just wanted to let the board know that that's still on the way, but a slight delay in getting that. But should arrive within the next couple of 2 weeks, and then we'll work to get that installed. And we need a whole month of operation under that meter to really tell what difference it's going to make.
I'm looking forward to seeing how much a difference it
makes. I'm looking forward to it, too, and I'm hoping it makes a significant difference. Part of me is a little apprehensive about it, knowing that these meters usually don't over-register. They usually under-register, and this one, our old one would have to be over-registering to quite a degree to make up the total. But it's time to approach that as a possible cause. And just looking at the history, as I've mentioned before, going back, once we started looking at volume of water lost instead of percentage and focusing more on that, I went back, and as far as our records go back, we've been at about this much of a difference between the production meters and the consumption meters.
Going back how far?
Well, I saw a chart that went back about 12 years.
Okay, that's what I was curious.
So
we replaced all the meters
for water.
We replaced all the meters for individual residents
all
about
the,
6 years ago.
All the consumption meters have been replaced, and we don't have any reason to believe they're the problem, because they pretty much all have to be.
Yeah, because it was still around 12% clear back 12 years ago.
Well, more so than that, still at around 900,000 to a million gallons difference between our production meters and our consumption meters. So there's got to be an explanation for that. And it tells me it's more likely a metering problem than a water leak problem, considering it's gone back that far. So we're going to see what this does. This is the next obvious step to try. I hopefully it'll make some significant improvement. But it's, you know, at this point, we got to cross this off our list as a potential variable that could be contributing to this problem. So we'll see how that works. Of course, I'll keep the board informed, and we'll hope for some significant improvement in those numbers. I think that meter that's in there now, Leonard, is original equipment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it is a mechanical meter. It's a propeller meter, and they do wear out over time, and so it could be what's going on. But I'll definitely keep the board informed. One thing I did not write on the manager's report, and it's because I forgot to, I wanted to talk a little bit about our general obligation bond and the prospect of thinking about getting another one for future water system improvements. Rochelle, we'll have our current GO bond paid off when?
June
2027. So we'll have that all paid off, and that was for the
Horn Creek.
So, and this project, as I'll get into more as we get into the old business items, this project's going to cost a significant amount of money, and it's going to deplete our GLIP fund, our LGIP fund, to a significant degree. But we've still got a lot of work that needs to be done, especially on the drinking water side going forward. And so we may want to pursue another GO bond to complete some more of those improvements. Of course, a GO bond has to be voted on by the public. So you've got to be able to pitch the idea in an appealing way to the public to get them to vote for it. But I think it's something that the board should consider pursuing, especially once we're done paying off the current one. So I just wanted to mention that, kind of plant that seed in everybody's head as something to think about over the course of the next year. Tom, you have some thoughts about that too?
Yes. Our master plan had... Our wish list on the master plan on the water side was something like $36-37 million.
Yep.
And if we picked out, you know, 3 to 5 critical projects out of that and tailor that over a 10-year period, that's doing pretty good, because our master plan is out there another 15 years or so or more. So that would be a good way to go about it, I think. But it'd take a little planning for staff to kind of figure out what's most critical and start looking down the road to then take our time, go to the county clerk and the Secretary of State's office and find out the exact procedure to go ahead with the general obligation bond and how we should proceed, possibly with our own lawyers.
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing. And you are right, we're right at $36 million in needed water system improvements. Some of those are seismic resiliency improvements, but a heck of a lot of them are just because our water lines are undersized, and a lot of our water lines, probably 50% of them are still 2-inch, Leonard, would you say? And we need to upsize those lines because we cannot provide adequate fire flows on a 2-inch line. So those are all improvements that should be considered in the future. And of course, we've got the Water Master Plan as our guide. So certainly something to think about. But other than just a mention of that, maybe just kind of get the board thinking about it, you know, what you said, 4 or 5 over the course of 10 years, I think is pretty realistic. These projects seem to take over a year from planning through design, through bid, through construction. You know, just these projects, one of these projects alone takes about a year start to finish. And, you know, it's hard to manage more than one of these projects at one time. So, You know, it's, I think that's pretty realistic, Tom. 5 over 10 years is probably realistic. Any more than that would be difficult to manage just from a construction management perspective, to be honest with you. But I think that would be a good goal. So. No employee-related news to report during the month of August 2026. And other than that, Tom, that's all I got for the manager's report.
What about our... you had a question?
John, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, on the financials, there's various buckets on the water side. New construction... master plan, all those different buckets that are on the financials. And that money is budgeted every year, or it's an annual budget. But if that money's not used, you know, I'm assuming we're looking at capital improvement, pulling the Bruton Road project from capital improvements, or those two accounts that are the main accounts. But what about the other little accounts that we budget for? Is there overages on those accounts that money can come out of those as well?
Well, I want Rochelle to chime in on this, but my understanding is that a lot of those other buckets or those individual budgetary line items, they're coming out of user fees in some cases, and other and for some projects come from our system development charges. So I don't know if you can take funds from one and put it in the other or not, Rochelle.
Just a second. Dan, for your own information, when the budget is done, it's done. However, we can revise the budget, the board can. We can revise the budget and do a transfer of funds. But then again, they have to be coming from somewhere that I'll let Rochelle talk about.
If you're taking money from somewhere, that's somewhere that now doesn't have money. So you have to keep that in mind. If we're taking money away from user fees, that takes money away from payroll, insurance, repairs and maintenance. So we don't love to do that idea. Where we are taking the new construction from right now is SDC funds and capital improvement charges, and that is essentially in the budget with the assumption that we are going to receive SDCs that year. That's our hope and our dream.
So what is our fund at right now?
The question, I guess, for the board to consider, and this doesn't have to be decided tonight, but for consideration, I think we have to look at what we would go to the public for in a dollar amount for a GoFund. Is it the whole project estimate of $1.8 million? Or is it a portion that there are some offsets, capital improvement, system development charges? How does that work? All in for $1.8 million to the general public?
Well, what I can tell you is it's too late to pursue a go bond for our current project.
Right. That money's already there, pretty much most of it.
Yeah, right. and I don't know how our customers would view embarking on a second go bond before we're done paying our first. And that one won't be paid off for a year. Or a little under a year. So we'd be talking about the next project or the next projects. We wouldn't be talking about this one.
Right. This one's already...
Oh, so Bruton wouldn't be a GoFunder.
No.
We have the money to pay for this project. It's just going to deplete our entire savings.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when we did the Ruppel project, we didn't use a GoBond for that either. So some projects need to come out of our SDCs, but once we start using more of those dollars than we replenish, then we have to look at other funding options. And I think going forward for future projects, I think a go bond would be a good choice. And also, we'd be in a position to pitch it to the public after we've already paid off our existing one, which I think is coming at it from a better position. The question I have is, and this is something that would need to be determined, can you identify four or five projects that will be done over 10 years in, separately and get a go bond for the whole amount? Or would you have to just do it one project at a time in a case like this? Now, when you're talking about building a new treatment plant, well, you can call that all one project. But when you're replacing a water line on Broughton one time and then replacing a water line on Sunset Drive or something else the next time, how would that work when you want to go after multiple projects over the course of 10 years and get a single go bond for all of them? And that's the question that we would need to find out.
I think I've presented to the public as a, you know, five projects over 10 years. These are the most pressing ones identified by our 20-year master plan. And if the public denies that, we'll come back with a shorter suggestion of, say, three over 10 years.
Because part of me wonders if it wouldn't be make more sense or be more palatable to go ahead and do five projects, but we're just going to call it one really big project that's going to take 10 years to get done.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a better approach.
Okay.
You know, these are all things that would have to be investigated and, you know, reviewed and analyzed. And, you know, it's up to the voting public. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to pitch the idea and you got to be able to sell the idea.
Right.
And so you need to clearly define what the project goals are. You need to clearly define the benefit of those goals, and you need to clearly define the expected cost of those projects. And if you do that, I think the public's in a better place to be able to wrap their head around it.
Okay, last question. Who decides those, we'll call them five projects in the next 10 years? Does the authority manager do that? Does the board do that? Does an engineering firm, have they already aligned what needs to come next in projects for a master plan?
Well, I can tell you that the engineers were heavily involved in our water master plan, and so they've already had a pretty significant input into what should be on our wish list. I think largely it's going to come from the authority manager with consultation of people like Leonard, who knows where our biggest weaknesses in the system are, and we start with those projects. But you know, it would be a joint decision between the authority manager, the board, key members of the staff, and engineers would have their 2 cents worth, but in a big sense, they've already played their cards in the form of the water master plan.
I think this is something that's going to have to be, you know, really talked about and discussed and figured out what's best. It's not anything we can just say, let's do this.
Yeah,
this is going to be kind of a long-term.
Well, I think we have to explore it first, right? I mean, explore it,
right.
And just, you know, I've never applied for a go bond before, so I'm not even aware of how to begin the process. Yeah. In fact, I don't think anybody currently in the authority has. But
there's the legal aspects and all of that, so mm-hmm. it's not anything we can really, you know.
Well, we got a year to ponder it. But,
exactly.
My suggestion to John to bring this up in the meeting was kind of let you know, give you a heads up that we got to start thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And we got plenty of time to deal with it, so it was just a little seed out there to keep your mind on the future.
And in the meantime, hope for a lot of developments in town.
Yeah.
All right?
Build that fund back up.
But and a significant part of the cost of this project is the paving. And we'll talk more about it as we get to that in the,
well,
on the agenda.
Let's go right into that. And under unfinished business, the new project. What kind of an update do you have?
Well, I've gotten the 60% design submittal. We're expecting the 90% to come in about a month. We've been talking about this for a while. We've been spending money on this for a while, and I wanted the board to see some of the progress that has been made. Leonard and I are deep in the review of the 60% design, and we're hoping to provide feedback to our design firm by the end of the week. But I did want to share the drawings with the board so that they've got a bit more of a visual concept of what the project entails. And I also included the engineer's opinion of probable cost, which is where we're coming up with that little north of $1.8 million just for the construction cost. That does not count the engineering cost. That's just the construction cost. So if that pans out to be correct, you know, the total for this project will be just north of $2 million. And what's different about this project and other projects like Ruppel is we will be expected to repave the entire roads.
Right. And would other staff be interested in hard copies, or do they have electronic copies? Or
I've got the ability to get them copies. And actually, the copies that I printed out might be close to that size anyway. But
okay.
But yeah, I can definitely share them with the staff. The staff should have an awareness of what's going on. The staff are all going to be key players in the management of the construction when it begins. And but I will say, in terms of that opinion of probable construction costs, is something that engineers put out for every project. It's been reviewed and triple reviewed by our engineering firm, following a variety of standards to come up with this estimate. But from my experience, the estimate from the engineers is always high. And part of the reason is they always add contingency, and they'd rather come in high than low. And so they almost always come in high. As an example, Ruppel, they came in at about $850,000 to $900,000, and the job itself was closer to $450,000. So that's almost 50% overestimated, at least for Ruppel. But I think it's high. But the real indicator of how much this job's going to cost, we won't get, and this is the only indicator that counts, we will not get that indicator until we start receiving bids by the contractors. And that's when you know the true cost of what the job is.
And that might vary. There might be a variable in the contracts with those bids.
Could be.
About the cost of asphalt, because with oil going up and down, it's like in regular constructions, it's called cost in material or something like that. Well, if material goes up, that's a variable that has to be accounted for in their invoicing. Be aware that that's going to be part of it too. Hopefully price of oil goes down by next spring.
Well, and there could be some volatility for sure, is I think the point. And we ran into a lot of volatility with just in the availability of parts on the Ruppel project, because we were just coming off of COVID, supply chains were still stressed, and I think we've got that behind us now, but there could be some market variability on stuff like that for sure, and we have to be prepared for that. And but
I got my hand up.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Dan.
Can you see that my hand is up, Tom?
Oh, virtual hand up, right?
Yes. Well, where are you?
Okay, so here's my question. We're at 60% submittal of the design drawings. please refresh my memory. Was there a lump sum that we were quoted by Parametrics for engineering this project and carrying it through to the end?
Yes, there was. And that was $306,000. I'm sure my memory serves me correctly.
That sounds right.
Yes, but keep in mind that is not only for design work, that is for managing the bid process. That is for also helping to manage the construction. And in a job like this, that's in a heavy traffic area, they're doing additional work they didn't have to do for Ruppel. And I'll give you a couple examples. Here we need a traffic control plan, and I mean a serious traffic control plan. We didn't really need one of those per se in Ruppel. Here we need to think about the sequencing of the work very carefully so that we don't, so that we do approach the work in a smart way to minimize or mitigate the downtime for our customers. Because there will be some downtime, and we want to make that as short as possible. And how you do that is you think about all phases of the project simultaneously, and you come up with a sequencing plan for how to complete this work to minimize customer inconvenience. And that's a big part of what they've done too and are currently continuing to do. So there's a variety of things they're doing for us, but for that money, they're not just going to do the drawings and then walk away from us. They will largely handle the entire bid process for us, and they will do a lot for also helping us to manage the construction phase of the project, including approving submittals and things of that nature. What needs to happen as soon as you award a job to a bidder in a competitive bid process, that bidder needs to submit submittals for every that show the exact part for everything they're going to use. And if they're different than what our engineers expect, and they frequently are just due to availability and other things, well, in order for that part to be accepted as a substitute, our engineers have to approve that. So this process is still largely getting started. There's still a lot of work to do, and our engineering firm will be heavily involved every step of the way. Now, really the main reason I even put this on the agenda is I wanted to share these documents with the board. I don't really have anything verbally to add other than these documents or what I've already said, but I did want to give the board an opportunity to ask any questions or as we're into the 60% design phase now, just wanted to give the board an opportunity to comment or to ask any questions based off what they've seen and heard so far. So, and the board may not have any, but that's really the main reason I put it on the agenda. I could have just sent these all to you and, just for your FYI, but...
Okay, Max, do you have any comments?
No, all my questions have been answered by John. Just listening to him, yeah. Did a great job on that.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I see that they note here stage one, stage two, stage three. So I'm assuming they're going to start here. That's the plan, and then kind of get that and move on.
And a lot of times, breaking those into the stages have pertains to the sequencing plan that I mentioned about and the traffic control plan too.
Well, and probably customer downtime.
Customer downtime. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the customers are really here and wanted to. There's not much up here. Customer wise.
And the project, the small part of the project at the extreme end of Resort is only to do an intertie between two existing water lines.
For the fire hydrant.
Yeah. And replace the fire hydrant, right? Yeah. Yeah. I see in the probable cost estimate, they're estimating 9 hydrants. I'm not convinced we need 9 hydrants. So, you know, there is also some ways that we can whittle down the potential cost. One of the questions I'm going to have for them is, you know, after looking at the plans, is, well, is this really the best place for a hydrant? And I know, Leonard, you feel that same way in a couple
Jason
of instances.
Jason and I went out and the map, well, I think he made you the map on Diamond Maps.
I haven't seen it yet. He was going to. And I think it sounds like he has.
We've got a start of where they projected it, where we projected it. Some of the places, obviously, they're not on site, so they can't tell that there's a 4-foot ditch there. That goes, you know, there's some things that are definitely going to have to be moved and some better places to put them.
Yeah, looking at it strictly from an aerial view, it's easy to just start dropping hydrants, but when you look at the topography in a couple of these spots, it's not the best choice. But, you know, our goal is to, you know, to spread them out, to have good fire system coverage, but to assign their location wisely so that we do have them spread out, but we also don't have them too close to each other, because then we're kind of wasting money at that point. So
$5,000 a hydrant,
yeah, for sure.
Well, then there's we got a good pipe already in the ground. We don't want to be cutting holes in it to install a hydrant. If we can put it on a 6-inch line, we're adding that already has a valve.
That makes sense.
There's some logistics there that we're working on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Kathy, do you have any comments?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Did you have something else, Luann?
Nope, that's all.
I haven't had a chance personally to look through the cost estimates, but the plans themselves look very well done. It'd be nice to see them stay that way.
And you can see some blue notes in there too for questions we're still working on and other things.
Okay, well, unfinished business. Let's move on to item B. Now, we're going to discuss authority manager retirement proposal. And we did some research. We were thinking about doing this in executive session. And it turns out any kind of compensation or salary that the board decides for an executive position, we have to do that in public, that as any kind of salary, because salaries for all employees and the authority manager are a matter of public record. So it has to be discussed in public. However, John has gratefully decided that it would be easier for us to discuss that if he were not in the room. However, as employees and guests, you are welcome to listen to this discussion, because not only are you employees and guests, but you're a member of the public. And so this is, we're an elected board, a public group, so we have to do this according to Hoyle, of course. And so at that point, at this point, John, would you be willing to step out of the room for a...
Sure, absolutely.
...half hour?
Yes.
Someone come and get you.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can... I mean, if he wants to stay, we're happy to have him stay.
Yeah, we can discuss this with John.
It's what John wants.
It doesn't matter to me, you guys. I can go or I can stay. It doesn't matter.
You can stay. Okay. I don't think there's anything that's a big secret.
Do you have any comments about that, Matt?
I'd prefer him to stay.
Okay, cool. All right. I'll turn the floor over to Luann and Kathy.
So we, Kathy and I met and we talked about this, and we kind of we've handed this out. We didn't have this together in time to put it into the board packet, but you know, if it needs to be there, that's fine. And I did some consultation with SDAO, the legal rep there, and they, you know, basically said we can. It's a very unusual request, and it's not something that's typically done.
She said we could do anything we want. It would have to all be through legal channels. But they didn't. They really advised against it. Okay. So after talking to them and you know looking into everything that's involved, we just decided that it would be best just to deny the request as it stands.
Well, so in addition to that, John's original employment agreement, you know, Section 6, 2C, except as otherwise required herein, employee shall not be entitled to any other compensation or benefits at the termination of this agreement and or his employment with the authority or at any time thereafter. So that is in the original contract that you signed. So for me, the two major factors that we use to make our decision, one is the recommendation from
SDAO
that this is an unusual request and that they don't think that we should approve it. And in the agreement that you had when you were hired, which is the overriding one for me, is that you agreed that you weren't going to get any other compensation.
Well, I did. I guess I hinge on the word entitled. Nobody thinks that this is something I'm entitled to, right?
But that's the way it's worded in the contract.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it has nothing to do with whether we think you deserve more compensation or the job that you've done, because we all think you did an excellent job.
Sure.
But these two factors, and then there's other things that we included that are listed here, you know, that we have an obligation to the ratepayers to handle funding in the best way possible.
A comment that SDAO made is that being a public agency, it's not a good way to do this.
Sure. And you mentioned that I had offered three quarters of what it would cost in other things I would forfeit, right?
So, and we understand all that from your original proposal.
Yeah.
Although we think that makes things, that doesn't make it easier, it makes it more complicated, especially for Rochelle, who has to do all this.
Sure.
We talked about the unlimited phone support that you offered and how much that may or may not be used, whether it's actually a benefit to us or not. So we, Luann and I, talked at length. We put together several drafts of this, but it is our recommendation to the board that your request be denied.
And I understand it. I figured it was a long shot going in. I thought the some of the things I was going to forfeit might help to offset that. Just a couple of thoughts. Do you know who Monica Schultz is? I've never heard of her. Do you?
Yeah, she does a lot of presentations for SDAO from the trainings I've been to.
Because
she used to be part of HR Answers.
What was, what's the other one's name that she
read? Tanya Glass?
She wasn't available. That's why she called.
I will say, too, that COBRA benefits are not available to me till 65.
They said they were because you are retiring. It's that there's different rules if you're just quitting or if you were to be terminated.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news.
But because you are retiring, COBRA benefits are available to you until you're 65.
Okay. I was told it was 9 months because my employer employs less than 20 people. If it was over 20 people, it would be 18 months.
I thought that too. And I did some research on that originally because I thought 11 employees, well, we're not even covered under federal COBRA because we don't have enough employees.
Yeah.
But the HR person that I talked to, this Kaylin Wiley, Actually, she sent me an email with it. She said that retired employees are eligible until they're 65.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, I
have that in writing.
I may decide to go that way then. Yeah.
Now, my guess is they probably don't think many people are already or closer. Sure. Maybe they're not retiring younger. But, I mean, I would go ahead and double check that again with SDAO. But that's what she, and like I say, I have that. I can send you a copy of that.
Well, I think that's great news, and maybe that's the distinction is retirement versus quitting
versus
or some other type of,
right.
of termination.
However you say that. Yeah.
I really appreciate all that. I do.
For Dan and for Max's benefit, just today we found the employment contract and the employment email or letter involved in what we were just discussing, or our board was just discussing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry we didn't get it to both of you, but they were the persons involved in this committee. So you're hearing about it now. Dan?
Actually,
go
ahead, Dan.
Go ahead.
My hand is up. I don't know if you can see that or not.
Yes, I did.
Just a quick comment. Luann and Kathleen, thank you for digging into that. I know it took some time, and I'm glad it was you that had to do it and not me. One thing that I think in your decision or recommendation to the board in rejection of the proposal is a question to the board of how that may set precedence if we were to accept the proposal, how it could set a precedence for future authority managers.
Right.
So to me, there's exposure risk there.
Right.
When you make a case for one individual that probably deserves it very highly, and yet you have another one that comes up down the road that says, hey, wait a minute,
right.
You did this for the previous authority manager.
And Dan?
And I'm not sure the board needs to be involved with setting precedents.
Dan, you didn't get a copy of the letter that Kathy and I put together, and it does mention that in there, that it's, that is actually part of the SDAO. Conversation was setting the precedent, and I believe it's in the letter.
Yeah, it's
that was one of the considerations that we had. So yeah, that's in this letter that you don't have a copy of.
Okay, I'd like to also state that as we all on this board agree that John has been an exceptional manager and has done very well with this organization. For this community, I'd like to point out a couple of things. Even though we have a recommendation of no, we could still do this if we wanted to, with an attorney's, approval and that sort of thing, because of the exceptional way that John has conducted himself these last 5 years. However, this is kind of a nitpicky thing, but I did notice on the original contract that was sent to John that unfortunately Carol McVicker did not, the chair at the time, did not sign it. However, to be fair, John did. So, but my point is we could if we wanted to. So I've heard your suggestions, Dan. Max, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I'd still like to pursue some sort of compensation there, especially for the fact that we got some of these upcoming projects coming up, and for a consultant fee, to have to hire him on as a consultant at least, and to check into this COBRA. If you can get COBRA up until the age of 65, then that's a different option we can go end results with pursuing this a little bit more. I'm not ready to give up completely on this.
Well, I'm thinking here that if we wanted to hire John occasionally as a consultant, that would be, he'd have to have, you know, accept that if we contacted him, if he'd want to do it, or it wouldn't be part of this proposal.
Right, right.
However, it would be some other
separate arrangement.
Another arrangement after the fact, after your retirement.
Yeah.
So I think the practical thing to do here is to have a vote.
And I want to just say one more thing before I did not contact an attorney because I thought I don't need to start charging the authority those kind of monies. But anything that we do is going to have to be a legal document.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind.
I agree.
So that was another concern of ours is that, you know, attorneys aren't cheap. And, you know, there would be some extra cost to the authority for that.
Just to draft something.
Just to draft it, you know, I know attorneys well enough to know they're going to say, well, I'm going to have to review your handbook, and I'm going to have to review you this, and I'm going to have to do this and that, and review this and that before I can do anything.
Well, and the big question is, and I truly appreciate all the consideration, I mean, as much for the staff's information as anything, I had come up with some ways to lessen the authority's cost on this. One, forego any raise increase for the rest of my tenure. Two, forego a bump in insurance accrual, or not insurance, but vacation accrual. That now that I'm at 5 years would have been a significant bump. You know, the fact that the board would not have to contribute that additional amount into my 6%
deferred comp.
Yeah. And then also to forfeit some of my accrued vacation at the end, leaving a delta of about $3,500 if we were just comparing kind of dollars to dollars as best we can.
Yeah.
And you know, then offering my unlimited phone support service to both the board and the staff for the entire year. So that was the proposal on the table, and I wanted to share that with the staff as long as they've come this far with us. But I also knew it was a long shot.
It can be a bit cumbersome.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot more to it than just, you know, doing those things. We have to get on those things. Done.
Sure. I will say, though, that there is...
And also, probably in July 1st, we're going to have, I would guess, at least an 8% increase in our medical premiums.
Oh, probably so. They always go up, right?
So that would increase the amount of that amount to the authority, too.
So if we get a year.
Sure.
I'm sorry. The money part is important, of course. You know, money is important to everybody, including the authority and to the ratepayers. But the two primary overriding factors here are, one, your contract clearly says that you should not be entitled to any other compensation or benefits at the termination of this agreement and or his employment with the authority or at any time thereafter. And the recommendation from SDAO, which is the organization that provides advice and helps all organizations like ours in the state of Oregon. If we aren't going to respect what they have to say in their recommendations to us, there's no point in even being associated with them.
Sure.
They
sure.
are the experts.
Sure.
They are the people that we contact when we have questions, when we need advice about issues.
Sure.
So those are the two overriding factors that, you know, because at the beginning, Luann and I had maybe some different ideas about different ways we could approach this. But once we called people and talked to them and started reading things, we changed our mind.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what's best for the authority, and you got to be careful which road you decide to go down.
Exactly.
You know, just historically, be aware And I, not that I think it was a good idea, but there has been some precedent-setting things with previous authority managers, for example, increasing their contribution amount. I think Tony was up to 15%.
But just because you did something in the past does not excuse you to do it now.
I get that. Well, I want to thank.
And like I say, I did want to make clear, they didn't say, SDAO did not say that we can't do. She basically said, you do whatever you want, but there's going to be consequences. It's going to cost you some money.
Sure.
You're going to have the legal fees. You're going to have. There's going to be other, consequences of it.
Well, I'm satisfied certainly with the decision. I'm
not done. The decision isn't done.
Well, we're still contemplating here.
So at this time, if there's no further discussion, Dan, you want have your hand up?
I guess I'm kind of thinking, why can't we delay this decision until we're through the candidate reviews? Because depending on the candidate, it may become fairly evident that we might need some help outside of, some experience that John has that could be passed, handed forward to the new candidate. So why not? Why do we have to decide now?
Well, we don't.
Well, I'm waiting for a.
I'll make a motion that we delay the proposal that John has put forth for a further date. And in regards to the information that was given to us today, we're unable to make a definite decision tonight. And I think we ought to postpone it for a future vote.
Okay. And in relations to that, Dan and Max, I will send you copies of the employment contract for your reference for the future. And so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Well, I'll second it to delay it.
Okay. So we have a motion to delay the authority manager retirement proposal. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposed. Excuse me. Motion is carried. Did you record that? Both? Okay, excellent. Okay, let's move on.
Thank you for all the consideration.
Yes.
Thank you for the consideration. I really appreciate it.
You guys did some yeoman's work there. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
No, that's a great report. A lot of hard work went into that. I commend you guys for that.
Okay. The next item is item C, looking toward our new authority manager and applicant work session and interviews with our candidates. We got a bunch of dates to deal with here. John, will you fill us in?
Well, first of all, I want to apologize for the extremely late addition to the agenda. I hate to do that. But when I saw our recruiter's email today, I realized we have no choice. The issue is that we've apparently got to have a work session, which involves the recruiter and the board going through the applicants and deciding, making decisions about the individual applicants. But then we also need, and that will need to be done in executive session. We've also got a need to schedule the final interviews, which will involve the recruiter being present as well, and which will also be done in executive session. The problem is if we don't try to nail down the dates for those two executive sessions now, the next time we meet, we'll be too late.
was going to tell everybody. I'm leaving the 16th.
Okay, what are the dates we're dealing with?
Well, I've got the email here. I meant to print it out, but I didn't. But I do have the email. Let me get my mouse to wake up. So he wants to do a special executive session with the board, I believe as early as next week.
Yeah, I from what I read on your email, next Tuesday, the 13th.
Yeah, well, he's planning to have the what are we calling it, the workshop session or the working session. He's planning to have that packet at least to Tom on Monday.
The
14th.
And I'll turn around and get it.
Monday the
14th.
Yeah.
Monday's the 14th. Sunday's 13th.
We're talking September 1st, not October.
You were talking about September.
That's next
week. Yeah, so that's Monday's the 13th, isn't it?
Yeah. 14th.
Oh, okay.
So he says we could also schedule it for the week of the 21st, but he's concerned that that's not a lot of time to give the applicants time to make arrangements for the interviews, which are right around the corner. You know, if once you notify an applicant that they've qualified for a final interview, it's good to allow a few weeks for that person to make those travel arrangements or whatever they have to do. And for all we know, or at least all I know, one or two of these applicants could be coming from out of state.
Yeah, I agree.
So he'd really like to try to get together with the board, and he's mentioning an evening a Zoom call or team meeting, but he'd really like to try to find a time that works for everybody to get that part of it done next week.
Okay.
So he's shooting for the 15th?
He's shooting for the week of the 14th, whatever it might be.
Because I'm leaving town on the 16th. I can make myself available 14th, 15th, and 16th. I'm flying out 7 o'clock. On the 17th, I got it. So,
I think that's and reasonable. I'm not back the sooner until, the better.
So, and I'm not back till October 7th.
Do you guys think, I mean, Kathy and Tom, what's your availability? And Dan, what's your availability on the 15th or 16th?
15th is fine. 16th is fine.
The 15th is the best for me.
15th works for me.
Okay.
Preferably in the afternoon.
The sooner the better. If you think a day sooner would be better, I mean, the sooner the better we get this done.
Well, I'll get the data to you on the 14th when I get it.
He couldn't make it.
Rob didn't say he couldn't make any time that week, but there is a time for the in-person interviews that he can't make, I believe.
Okay. So the workshop would be us without Rob. Potentially.
No, you with Rob.
It would be a
Teams.
Would be with Rob.
But he's proposing a Teams meeting, which means, although it be executive session, it seems to me that everybody could just join at home from their computer, right?
Okay. I'm good with the 14th, the 15th, and depending on what time, the 16th.
The 14th, I don't think is possible, Dan, because you're going to have to have some time to look through these resumes. Yeah.
And we won't even get them until the 14th.
Exactly. Yeah.
At the 14th. The 15th and 16th would be the best for me.
The 15th is the best for me.
About
15th afternoon.
15th, any time for me is good. So.
15 score. That's great.
Okay.
Wow, that was easy.
Let's make that one
good.
The 15th.
Good, the 15th.
Okay.
And I think he's actually preferring an evening call.
That's okay.
Evening's fine.
Okay.
And this is going to just be a call or a Zoom or whatever we call it.
Yeah.
Team.
Call it a work session.
And
probably what I think he wants to do is just go over each resume with us. And his impressions.
Well, we'll probably need to throw out a time. I think Rob can make any time Do you guys want to just say 5 p.m.? Does that work for everybody on the
15th?
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
5 p.m. on the 15th.
Okay. That's next Tuesday.
No, the 15th is a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's a week from today.
I will confirm that. I will. But I think he's going to be available for that and will definitely be able to be present.
So then you would send out a Teams thing?
Yeah, I can. I don't know. I'm not sure the board wants me there or not, but...
Rob would send it out.
Okay. But I guess that's a question. If the board wants me there, let me know. If not, this is kind of a board thing. So I'll let me know and I'll tell him who all to include. But obviously himself and the five board members.
Okay.
Now in terms of the in-person interviews, he's talking about a meet and greet the day before where all the candidates come. Or I don't even know what that would look like. We didn't have that when I was hired. My personal feeling, it's a board decision, but my personal feeling is that may not be necessary.
I agree. I think we ought to just stick to the original program.
Just
no meet and greet.
Just go straight to the in-person interviews.
Oh, you want to do a meet and greet?
I don't care.
Yeah.
All I'm thinking is we have a meet and greet on the 12th, like he suggested, our regular meetings the next day.
Right.
Well, and that's when he was.
We were at training.
Yeah, keep in mind that we're double booked on.
Can't do interviews.
13th and
14th. Yeah, and the 13th is the board meeting.
Right.
Now, that means that I think the class that you guys have enrolled in gets over at 4, but it's in Newport.
Yes. It
takes
1 hour
and
8 minutes
to
get back.
Yeah, so.
We're going to have to cancel.
Maybe. We might be late.
Which is fine.
Yeah, well, a couple of things.
We'll start at 5:08.
Couple of choices. You guys can leave the training a half hour early. We can start the meeting at 5:30 instead of at 5. The problem with canceling the class is last time we did that, they did not refund our money. And we've got three people signed up. So now if you go to a meeting and then follow it up with a two-hour board meeting, that's a pretty long day.
Yes.
But, you know, the board will have to decide how they want to handle that. I didn't think of that scheduling conflict when you guys were talking about going to that class. I'm sure you guys didn't think about it either.
Well, I knew the board meeting was that night, but I thought, well, we can do that. I mean, even if we had to leave the training maybe a little bit early or something.
Yeah.
So why is he locked into those days?
Well, he's not necessarily locked into those days, but whether he's locked into those days or not, that's going to be a challenge for the three people going to the class anyway. So I guess I wanted to point that out.
I think his point was if we do the interview, then we can, you know, talk about a meeting or have an executive session then that night when we have our regular meeting. And I think that's just a little bit tight.
Well,
I agree.
That's going to only add more to a very long day.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. That's going to be very tight anyway.
So with that in mind, what he's suggesting as an alternative, let's see.
I mean, could we do the interviews and stuff a week of the 19th?
Well, he's talking about it. We want to move it out. Well, let's see. I'm not available on the 15th in case you want to schedule it later than the week of the 12th. I'm not sure what that even means.
He's not available for the 15th.
But we're talking about October at this point, I thought.
Yes, we are. So to start with, do we have a consensus that we're going to pass up on the meet and greet?
Yes. Yes.
I think we should.
Dan?
I'm saying we pass on the meet and greet because that would be like an outing, a dinner, or whatever.
Yeah,
it's good.
And that would be basically a quorum. It's going to be a meeting, basically.
Yep.
So.
No, I'm not even sure what they mean by that. Do we wine and dine the candidates? Is that the idea, or what?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can bring them all together and just sit around the table for 5 minutes and then
get to know each other.
Do you have to?
Meet and
You have to have refreshments.
No, we don't need to do that.
I don't think so.
Let's move on.
I think we ought to try to do these.
Yeah, let's move on.
The week of the 19th.
It's going to be about, what did I hear, three hours or maybe better.
Yeah.
To talk to our candidates. So when do we want to have that?
Anytime during the week of the 19th.
Okay.
I'm available anytime you want on the 19th.
This is after the week following week.
Right. So that we could do it Monday the 19th.
Monday's a little soon. How?
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Let's break it up to the middle of the week, I think. Unless you all have what your schedules.
I have a dentist appointment on Wednesday, but I can change that.
He also offered it doing 1 week earlier, the week of the 5th.
I can't do that.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to be gone. She's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see him offering the week of the 19th here, but that just may be the way it is. He's looking at the schedule and just trying to be sure we stay on schedule.
I know.
But we can only do what we can do. If we can't do the week before and no other day the week of our board meeting in October is going to work for everybody, then it's going to have to be the week after.
Right.
Okay.
So we just need to pick one of those days.
We need to pick a day and a time, and then I can let him know. Or Tom can.
Whoop, I lost Dan. Darn.
He'll come back.
Okay, what day on that week?
Tuesday.
Tuesday the 20th.
You're talking October.
Yeah.
That's fine. Sounds good.
Does that work for you?
That works for me fine.
And we can start, you know, it doesn't matter. Any time that day.
Okay.
Too early.
How about noon to start?
Are we doing the interviews here or at the authority? Tuesday's Stitcher Day. At the authority?
Yeah. Also, for everyone's edification, I think I mentioned it last meeting, but besides the board, and possibly a couple of our staff. We also invited Sean that owns Twist Wine Company. We also invited Ann sitting over there, Ann Price. And we also invited Shelley, who is the manager of Chester's, as citizen business people and concerned citizens. Now, as you know, Sean was a former director, as was Ann. So they will be involved with the interviews as well as the board and the staff. So that's the process, and you all heard when we're
so
going to do this.
So let's shoot for the 20th anyway, and then...
Dan, are you there?
Yes, I have a lot of power here at the house, but now I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, my. Hey, anyway, we're looking at 20th of October. It's a Tuesday for the candidate interviews. Will that work for you?
Yeah, I think so. Just a second. Let me...
I lost him. But I think that was, I think so.
Yeah.
Ann, are you there? Does the 20th work for you? Okay. I think you're hiding back there.
Well, wait for Dan.
And we
to
could
get
start
back.
Maybe we should start a little earlier than like 10 or something so we can get.
Well, what does he say here? He thinks that. This will 3 hours for interviews.
Yeah.
3 hours to conduct all the interviews.
That's
that seems aggressive.
That's very aggressive.
Yeah. There's five.
Potentially five, unless they're planning to screen a couple out.
I think we'll find out during the workshop what he feels is
It'd probably be kind of nice if we did this, all these in one day, to, you know, start in the morning, do a couple, take a little break, and then do some more. Because look at interviewing, it's not easy.
No, and Rob also wants to count 1 hour for that day for board discussion and deliberations.
Right, and then we could do that later after.
Yeah. That's at least 4 hours.
Yeah, that'd be a long day.
Okay.
So I think we should start early at, you know, 9 or 10. Do a few, take a break, do some more.
No, I agree with that. Earlier the better.
And then come back.
Few breaks in between because you're going to need a lunch break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how's 10 sound?
Fine.
Perfect.
10.
8:10 a.m. 20th of October.
And it'll be at the authority rather than
you wrote down dates and times for both those, Tom?
Yeah.
I seem to have lost my pen. All right.
Okay, that's done.
Okay.
We'll move on to item 8. New business. A media advertising proposal. And I'll let John take that one.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. So I had a recent conversation with Tim Hirsch, who we all know. He's the editor and owner of the PC Sun newspaper, which is our local newspaper. And, you know, being the agency we are, you know, probably one of the most important single agencies, companies, businesses, however you want to classify it, in the local community and the critical function that we serve. Tim indicated to me that, you know, he'd like to see PCJWSA support the local newspaper a little bit more in the form of buying some advertising space. And I know that, you know, he looks at places like Tillamook PUD, which of course is a lot bigger entity, more employees, deeper pockets. But, you know, comparing us to some extent with Tillamook PUD, we all know how active they are in community outreach. I mean, they're always sending out cards and flyers and you know, advertising their electrical apprenticeship program and their bill-paying hardship program and their grants and everything they do. And he sees some correlation with a utility like ours and the possibility of things that we could utilize this paper for in, like a public outreach mm-hmm. capacity. And, you know, I know the board, too, has always encouraged me to look for opportunities to get our name out there, to be a presence in the community, and so forth. And this could potentially be a possibility, not only to support our local newspaper that I think everybody that lives in town and works in town appreciates, but also to do some more public service messaging or some more public outreach via the newspaper to our customers and the community as a whole. And, you know, some thoughts are, you know, we could just do a little thing about, you know, water conservation and the merits of, you know, using water wisely or, you know, the importance of backflow protection and how does that work and what role does that play in keeping our public water system safe? You know, a lot of times I'd like to just do a write-up that says, I don't care if it says flushable on the container, it doesn't make it flushable. You know, and even talk a little bit about, you know, the types of things that the authority doesn't want to see flushed down the toilet because it increases our maintenance, our repair, and costs everybody more money. You know, we've got water leak credit programs that occasionally we could advertise. You know, our consumer confidence reports are available. They're completed and available beginning July 1st of every year. We could advertise the availability of that and how to access a copy. And why, you know, why what consumer confidence reports are and why they're important information to our customers, the consumer. You know, if it's Christmas time, we could just use the advertising space for a Christmas greeting from PCJWSA to our customers or the community. So there's a wide variety of things that we could do that, you know, just even on an every single issue, which is every 2 weeks, to where, you know, we create an advertisement. My goal, if we were to do this, would be to create an advertisement, create something that I don't have to, or the authority manager doesn't have to spend time writing every 2 weeks for an issue of the paper, but come up with some, you know, maybe 13 of these public service messages or communications and rotate them twice a year and be in all 26 issues. Now, of course, advertising space isn't free, but with all the discounts we would qualify for, and there are quite a few, not that we would need it, but if we wanted to sign up for a quarter page advertising space for every issue, I mean, it was surprisingly inexpensive. It was $3,600, and that's if we go with a quarter inch advertising. We could do a fifth of an inch, a sixth of an inch, an eighth of an inch, and bring those costs down any more.
Are you talking page? You're talking
page.
Quarter page.
Quarter page of the newspaper, yeah.
Right.
Which is good sized and may be bigger than we really need for this purpose.
Well, I think this is actually, personally, a pretty good idea. Going into this project on Broughton, I think we need to have, you know, picture says 1,000 words. Or tells 1,000 words, and having that kind of having pictures of the project, and maybe even Tim could fill that in a little bit. I'd like to see, you know, pictures of staff on the job out in the field. I know you love that one.
But, smile, letter. We're going to take your picture.
We know how you like that.
But honest to God, we all know you do a good job, and you know I don't say that lightly. But nonetheless, you know, we need to toot our own horn a little bit. We do a lot of good work for this community. And you could always figure out how to cover your face or something. You figure it out, guys. I'd like to see some of that.
Yeah. Well, the main reason I brought it up is, you know, it sounds like, you know, a mutually beneficial idea to me. And I just wanted to get the board's thoughts about it in general.
I think it needs to be a quarter page, because if it's little, nobody pays the attention and notices it. You want to have something that catches people's attention.
Yeah.
If we're going to do it, let's do it right.
Okay.
And for this amount of money, I think it will buy a lot of community goodwill.
Yeah.
And I would be totally supportive of that.
Have our logo out there all the time. Mm-hmm. So I like that idea too.
Yeah.
I'm totally in agreement on it. Sounds good.
Yeah. Luann?
I agree. I think it's a good idea. Great idea.
Hey, Dan?
Well, you're talking to the sales and marketing guy. I think, you know, we can stand on the fact that if somebody wants to know about PCJWSA, come to the day meetings once a month. Or look at the website, or make a phone call, or attend a special meeting. But we all know that doesn't work, and the attendance is nil.
So because we always schedule our meetings at happy hour.
In paper, and potentially with some input, not just from the authority manager, but maybe employees on, hey, can we get a message about this that's going on, or, you know, get the employees to contribute. Heck, I'll buy them lunch if they come up with a good idea.
Well, and actually, that's also another good idea of an advertisement, just to continually let people know when our board meetings are, where we have them, you know, that the public is welcome. We encourage the public to attend. We want the public's input. And that could be an advertisement right there.
I think it's a great idea. I'm just concerned that, you know, that it's not going to create work for, I don't know. Is it, like you say, you could probably put something together and just run it kind of again and again, which might lose its anyway, but I don't want it in the and Rochelle doing
so
this.
So, Ann, I think Tim's on the line, and I guess I would say the question is, will he help us?
Right, and that's a great idea.
If we decide to do this, will he help us?
Right.
I think he will.
Well, he's already said that he would do the design of the advertisements for free. But Tim, if you can hear us, we'd like to get your thoughts at this time. If you've got anything additional you'd like to say on the subject.
There you go.
Well, I guess the one thing I could add is, like John said, an opportunity to do the design work for free. One good idea John had in our conversation was about an advertorial sense, and so where he would write a piece, or the future manager would. So that might fit into some what Tom was suggesting, the photos, and so there might be an additional opportunity there.
Okay, we'll go.
Like I say, I just didn't want it to get to be a burdensome thing, and then it would be, well, I don't want to do this, I'm going to set that aside, I'll just, you know.
Well, I think we'd have a commitment for 26 issues if we go into it, because that's how you get a significant discount as well. And Tim, I think other than maybe a half a dozen or fewer issues where we may want to customize something and actually pin something, what I view these as is, you know, create a good public service message, already have it set up and designed, and just periodically rerun it, right?
No.
So that doesn't create a lot of extra work.
No, we don't want to rerun the same stuff.
Well, then we will write it, have to rewrite it every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that we do want to run. We want to run whenever we're doing flushing. We want to run, hey, it's May, have you thought of, or it's September, have you thought about doing an indefinite walk-off?
Yeah. And I like the flushing idea, because we got to get the word out when we flush. So there can be times like that.
I think there's plenty going on within the community. You won't have to rerun too much.
Well,
anyway,
at this point,
I think it's a great idea, though.
Okay.
I just don't want it to become.
At this point, we have a amount of money of $3,633.50 for 26 yearly in their 26 yearly issues at a quarter page. That's the exact number. So you know how we do. If we're considering doing this, I would entertain a motion. At this time.
Tom, if I could interrupt you, until we have some developed, we probably need to do a little developing before we start running ads, but we could get started right away. You know, if we're going to approve the cost, we probably also have to know what the term is, right?
26 issues.
26 issues, but beginning when, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it may take us 3 or 4 weeks to really get going with this. I mean, Tim, maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know, but you know, if the board wanted to approve the purchase, we can do that, and I can work with Tim and get the ball rolling on this, and then we can talk, and then we can make that purchase if that makes sense. Which is usually the way we do it anyway. You guys approve the purchase, and when we're ready, we make the purchase, right?
Yeah.
So that would probably be okay.
Does the board even need to approve this? That's no. Just, we it's don't even need to approve this.
It's under 25.
It's less than...
Okay, 25,000, I think our number is.
Yeah, but I wanted the board's thoughts. I wanted the board's feedback on this, and the feedback I'm getting is all resoundingly positive,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yep.
So let's go ahead and move forward with that. Tim, I'll reach out to you, if not this week, next week, and we'll start getting this rolling, if that works for you.
Okay.
That works good. I usually send ad reminders out to most of my clients on Wednesday, meeting tomorrow, so I can include you in that.
Okay.
And get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and just having a good idea of when the next press time is. It's not this Friday, it's the following Friday, is that right?
Yeah, the
18th. The 18th? Okay. All right.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, thank you, everyone. I appreciate your thoughts about that. Thank you, Tim.
Okay. That was item 8, new business. And the next item is guest questions and comments. Before we start on that, I just want the staff to know for me personally, and I'm sure the rest of the board, what a heartwarming sight it is to see you all sitting here. I mean, I really appreciate it. You know, you're looking at Jason and you're pitching for Jason, totally understand. However, I got to point out that I'm an elected official, and I operate with the board. This authority as under Oregon Revised Statute and Oregon Administrative Rules. So you got to play the rules, you know, as positively as we can. I don't like breaking rules. However, it is our fiscal and our legal responsibility that when we look at all our candidates, that we be as absolutely impartial as possible. That being said, if you have any comments about your solidarity with Jason, I would receive them now.
I put together a little something with the backing of the staff. I'll read it out here.
For the record, would you identify yourself for video record?
Yeah, my name is Jeff Dippinger.
Thank you.
So thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak on behalf of our team. It is our understanding that Jason Stewart has expressed interest and applied for the manager position. As we prepare for John's retirement, we would like to take a moment to share our perspective and respectfully express our strong support for Jason Stewart as our next potential manager. Since coming to PCJ, Jason has made a remarkable impact on our facility and has brought meaningful and positive changes to our utility. He has been the driving force behind the professional growth of many team members through encouragement, guidance, and unwavering support. Jason has led several of us to earn certifications and continue our education. When challenges or roadblocks arose, Jason worked alongside of us, removing obstacles and motivating each of us to obtain our goals. Beyond his commitment to employee development, Jason has consistently demonstrated a deep technical understanding of our work and a genuine passion for success for our organization. He has an exceptional ability to bring people together, foster teamwork, and build trust. The confidence and respect he has earned from our team has helped create a positive environment where operations run smoothly every day. As employees who work closely with him, we have seen firsthand the leadership qualities that make Jason an outstanding candidate for this role. His dedication, knowledge, integrity, and communication skills and commitment to both the utility and his employees have made a lasting impact on all of us. With that being said, we fully trust the board's judgment in evaluating all candidates and making the decision that is best for the future of our organization. Regardless of the final outcome, our team remains fully committed to supporting whoever is selected to lead us forward. Thank you for your time, consideration, and allowing us to share our thoughts today.
Well said.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you. That was nice.
Does anyone else have any comments?
I appreciate the fact that you all support Jason. It's good to know that you're a good unit.
Okay, we'll move to item 10, director comments.
Oops, I already made my comments.
I don't have anything to comment on now. I think we covered.
Okay, well, once again, you know, I admire every one of you. You guys do such good work for us and for our community that y'all being together here really does warm my heart. Thank you for coming and all your good work out there. It is now 6:34 p.m. That'd be 18:34 hours military time. This meeting is adjourned.